The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Karen grew up in South Dallas, in Oak Cliff area, and she had a friend on her cheerleading squad in high school. Her name was Tina Vaughn. And Tina was a nice kid. We don't know enough about her to tell more than that. She's just a good kid. She was a good kid, but her dad was famous, and her uncle was famous. And you may know them if you know anything about music, if you know anything about that culture in Texas in the 80s. Her dad was Jimmy Vaughn. Jimmy Vaughn's a famous blues guitarist, and he's still alive, still plays shows everywhere. And her uncle was a little bit more famous, and you may have seen him on Hee Haw. If you watched Hee Haw back in the 80s, you probably saw the night that Stevie Ray Vaughan played on that show that night. Stevie Ray Vaughan was famous for a real folksy blues guitar that was very aggressive. So if you heard of him, raise your hand. Anybody heard of Stevie Ray Vaughan? Okay, y'all are from a certain era. Is because you've heard of that. He played a way that was so aggressive. If you remember that aggressive lick that he would play, how he would play the guitar, he had to use different strings than other people did. I believe they were 13,000th thick, which is substantially thicker than a normal string on a guitar. And to play that, he had to build calluses up on his fingers that were excessive calluses. Now, if you ever tried to play the guitar or learn to play the guitar, you know how painful that process is. How many of you tried to play the guitar sometime in your life? How many quit? Okay, we're also a tribe. It hurts to play that, to get those strings pressed into your fingers, and you have to do it for a while and get to the point that you have those calluses that allow you to smoothly transition between strings without... I'm talking about something I don't know about, Lori, just so you know. I kind of only know a little about this. I do have two musician brothers, but I'm not one of them. So you build that up, and it allows you to play better. But he played so hard that he would tear the tip. His guitar maker was Martinez, and Martinez told him to stop playing so aggressively or change strings. He said, no, I can't get the same sound. I want to be the best I can be. So in order to do that, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to use super glue. And he would pour super glue on his right arm, right here, and he would touch his fingertips into that super glue. Now, I never just understood why he didn't just drip it on the finger, but he would do that, and he had these little dots where he would tear skin away from this arm to be on this hand so he could play the guitar. He built up extra thickness in his fingertips to play the way that he needed to play. He had to go through some pain in order to get to be the best version of himself. And that's what I want you to take away from that illustration, is that you have to go through some pain to get to be the best version of the person that God created you to be personally. Now, you're not going to be like me. I'm not going to be like you. You're not going to be like the person sitting next to you. You're going to have a process in life where you grow and you're disciplined and you're strengthened and you're made to be what God needs you to be on this earth to serve out His purpose and His will among the people that He created. That's how He works. And that's what we're going to see come alive and applied in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Now, I want to read this to you, and we'll read through that, and we'll go verse by verse and talk about what the little nuances of these verses mean. In verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to a point of shedding blood. So you haven't gone too far. You haven't gone as far as you think you've gone. We think sometimes when we're going through a difficult thing that it may be the most difficult thing that anyone in this world has ever endured, and we're having to suffer through it. But the writer here is saying, you have not gotten that far. You've just been suffering a little bit of persecution. You've just been suffering from a little bit of trouble, and that trouble is making you better, but you haven't gone too far. Verse 5, and have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Now, we would make light of this in many ways. I've struggled with this particular line all week long, thinking about how to open up this message today. Because I have a certain style, a certain method where I would tell stories. Stories might be a little bit funny, might be a little bit silly, might get us off down into a path of thinking about what this scripture says. And I didn't want to do that because I do not want to make light of what God is teaching you and me here today in this word. Is he is serious about making you stronger. It's serious business. It's not just goofing around. You're not just, I'm not going to talk about running track today. And how if you run track, you run a little harder, you get a little better. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about spanking kids and some great comedian line about whipping kids in a Walmart. We're not going to talk about that. Because this passage is talking about your walk with Jesus on this earth. And how important it is. It's so important, and the Father loves you so much that he wants to perfect you in this process of you walking the life with him. So don't make light of it. Don't blow it off. Don't think it's nothing. Don't think it's just people being mean to you. It's are people being inappropriate to you in this context, this culture they're living in. It's about God making them better. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. You may have been rebuked at some point in your life. Most people don't receive correction well. They don't receive correction well from their authority. They don't receive correction well from their peers. They don't receive correction from someone younger. They don't receive it well because when someone is saying something to you that is correcting you and helping you get down the line, be stronger, you take it really, really personal. And when you take it really personal, it impacts your self-esteem. And your self-esteem may be wrapped up in how you think of yourself or perceive others thinking about you, and you don't even see this thing that's happened to you in the right perspective. Because the right perspective is you're being corrected because God loves you. And he wants you to be the best that you can be. He doesn't want you to be weak. He doesn't want you to be flippant about all the things that happen in the world. And he wants you to face everything that you're facing with strength. So don't lose heart if you're going through a time of discipline. That time of discipline is for your good. Verse 6, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He is taking you through this because he loves you. Now, I wanted to look back to the context of what would have happened in this synagogue life and how a father would have treated a child, treated a son in synagogue life. He would have asked that son to be with him, beside him, in all kinds of things that mattered in life so he could teach him how to react and respond and do things in an appropriate way. If he were to talk too much or get silly or laugh at the wrong time or to maybe lay down and fall asleep or whatever he was doing in church at the time, that father would gently restore him to a position that would make him stronger. Yesterday we were at a funeral, and the funeral was of the former BSU DCM director at Louisiana Tech, Lynn Hawkins. And Lynn was there from the 70s. All the way up into the 80s, a long, long career. And after he retired from collegiate ministry, he became an interim pastor, stayed an interim pastor a long, long time, and he moved to another church, stayed there a long, long time. Every day of his life, until the day he passed, he spent in ministry. And we talked to so many people, that would just tell us stories about their experiences when they were in collegiate ministry in BSU at Tech. And there was a theme. There was a theme in that conversation. Every one of them said this. He taught me how to do, and then it fill in the blank. How to organize a mission trip, how to create a sermon and craft a sermon, how to handle a difficult person, how to deal with parents that don't understand your commitment to Jesus, how to balance the life of school and serving God and being on mission, how to propose to your wife, it was over and over and over. And what was happening was this person, this Lynn, acted like a surrogate father for those people. And what he would do is walk beside them and help them make a decision, but he would say to them, this is you. You need to do the work. I'll just be here to help you. And that's a good picture of a loving father. That's giving guidance, giving leadership, giving instruction, helping them to step out on their own and not doing it for them. By the way, if you let your kids, you raise your kids, and I said I wasn't going to do too much of this, but I'm going to do this. You raise your kids and do everything for them and bail them out of every problem they ever face and not allow them to learn in the process of life, then you will be raising your kids when they're 40 years old. You've got to learn to teach people to be disciplined, to learn to do things on their own, learn to be strong. And this writer understands that is the model that is being used in this culture. He understands that they are teaching their sons with great love to become great men of God. And that's the goal. That's the goal that we have, is to teach folks to be the best they can be with the Father. Verse 6, because the Lord disciplines the ones He loves, He chastens everyone He accepts as His son. Every writer I read, every sermon I've listened to from a well-studied pastor, everyone that I've seen, they talk about this passage of chastening as an example that you can know for sure you're a follower of Jesus, that you are saved, that you're a believer, that you're a son of God, a child of God, because if you're going through discipline and you're being chastened and you're being strengthened, that is proof that you are walking with God. That's a pretty good encouragement to us to know that God is with us and He loves us and we belong to Him. Most of the writers say this, that you never graduate. That's kind of sad there. That's a good message for this church. This church with the average age easily over 65, in the body out here, I want you to know you haven't graduated. You haven't graduated to become the best that you need to be as a follower of Jesus. Because once you get through one stage, you're on to the next. And once you get through that stage, you're on to the next. And you get through the next one, you just keep on going, keep getting stronger, keep getting more closer to Jesus, becoming more like Jesus. And the day you graduate is the day that you close your eyes and enter into the presence of Jesus. So it's part of our life. Discipline is proof that we are the children of God. Verse 7. Endure it. Endure it. That hardship that you're facing, endure it. Get through it. Put up with it. Live with it. Maybe even enjoy it, that you're being disciplined to be more like Jesus. Endure hardship as discipline. God's treating you as His children. What children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. He's teaching it to us. You're never going to graduate, but this is proof that He loves us. Verse 9. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? We know we have examples of things that we were taught in our youth that we have carried with us from yesterday to today. And this is when I wish we were Sunday school. If this were a Sunday school today, what I would do is stop right there. And I would ask around the room, can you tell me a lesson you learned when you were a little kid, or maybe even in high school, that your father, that your mother taught you, that you carry with you even to today? Anybody have one? We all got one. We've all got them. I've got a stack of them, of things that I learned way back then that have carried over into today that I am thankful for because I have that discipline from the past. So we respected that parent for teaching us those things. But when the Spirit, when God teaches us things, it should cause us, provoke us to love Him more. We know God made us better because of whatever that event was, and we thank Him for it. We're thankful. Verse 10. They discipline us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. So this is leading us to a participation in the presence of the Father. We're going to be able to share in that holiness with Him. Verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Now I want you to go back to the guitar story. Can you imagine how painful it would be to have the tips of your fingers to rip off? And it would be so, I mean, it's painful. I mean, I got a cut on my hand from something yesterday, and I thought I was going to have to go to the emergency room. It hurts. There's tough things. Discipline's pain. It's painful. But it's really only painful in the moment. It's only painful for that brief encounter that you have with that, because that brief pain produces pleasure with the Father. It's not pleasant at the time. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Now, I want us to look at that little phrase, harvest of righteousness. Harvest of righteousness. That's like if I were to go plant, by the way, in my turkey cage, I threw out pumpkins and just to keep those things fed. They get the grain, they get the pellets, and they were eating pumpkins. They tore those pumpkins up, they spread those seeds everywhere. Now that they've moved on and lived somewhere else in another family, I walked out to the pen and there's pumpkin seeds sprouting up everywhere. I got a garden. It's not just a few, they're everywhere. The patch of grass that was dead 2 weeks ago is now green again, but it's all pumpkins. It's overflowing. That's what happens with a harvest. You harvest much greater than what was planted. Much bigger. So that little bit of pain and discipline that you go through is just a price you pay for something incredibly bountiful in your life. A righteousness that is bountiful. A closeness to the Father that you cannot describe with words, but you know in your heart. You have that peace that comes from being trained by the Father. Now verse 12, well, verse 12 is an indictment on the people. He is saying, this is who you are. And I read that and I thought, I wish you wouldn't have put that one in there. What he said is, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. You need to get stronger. You need to get stronger. He's saying to them, you've gone through some stuff and you're still feeble. You've gone through some things and you're still weak. And you need to get yourself together, get your mind right, and get stronger. I don't know if you feel feeble and weak, but there comes an age when you get to it, you're kind of afraid to step downstairs. You might twist something or pull something stumble and fall or break something, because it happens. It happens. If it hadn't happened to you yet, I'm glad. I'm glad for y'all. I could be walking in this building out there and be talking and not paying attention and twist my knee. It's feeble. It's weak. Don't want to be weak. I want to be strong. I don't want to be weak spiritually, that when someone says something that you perceive as a slight to you, that you have to respond negatively and cause a ruckus and cause trouble and cause pain and maybe a divide in the church just because you got your feelings hurt over something you just perceive to be hurtful. That happens all the time. You know what that is? Weak and feeble. It's weak and feeble. And to borrow a term from my youth and my coaching years, you just need to suck it up. Get stronger. You're easily offended and you wear your feelings on your sleeve. When you easily stumble and you find yourself just can't wait to share that good news you heard about someone else, that's weak and feeble. If you're lustful, weak and feeble. If you're greedy, that's weak and feeble. If you're selfish, weak and feeble. If you're lazy, weak and feeble. And the writer's saying this, get over that, get past that, and start to grow. Then he throws in a reference to Proverbs, and this proverb is 4:26 in verse 13. Make level the paths of your feet so the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. This is the wrap-up of all this intense discussion about being disciplined and about what it means to go through difficult things. And it's all for the good, and it shows you that God loves you. And then he says, stop being weak and feeble. And in verse 13, he says, you need to make those level paths for your feet. What he's saying is you need to chart the course of your life knowing that you will face difficult things. It's not over. It's not over. There will be difficult days. You don't want to be disabled. You want to be healed. You want to be restored. You want to be strengthened by the Father. Now, you know how I know that this passage is talking about how you get along with each other in the church? Because the very next section starts to talk about that. You look at the very next section. He says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. So we're not just living for ourselves, we're living for everybody. We're living for everybody. So that we may live at peace with each other, so we may grow in Him and give glory to Him. I like how verse 15 really talks about our responsibility, by the way. Sees to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. We're responsible for each other. I'm responsible for you, you're responsible for me, you're responsible for the person on the other side of the room, and I want to know if in your heart there's some feeling that you have against someone else in the church. I want to let you know that you're responsible for that person. If you're mad at them, you need to get over it. Get past it. Because you're responsible for those people as the body of Christ. You're to see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. We'll talk about bitter roots next week. That bitter root's a good passage to have in your toolbox of being a believer, working alongside other people, how to keep a bitter root out of your life. We'll talk about that next week. If you're going through difficult days today and you feel that's a God disciplining you, making you stronger, then praise Him. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for you getting to the point that you didn't have enough money to take care of something, and He just provided it for you and strengthened you and showed Himself in your life. Thank Him for it. If that's God showing you, He loves you. You belong to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word and how you teach us from Hebrews chapter 12 what it means to go through a difficult season of being disciplined. And Father, I thank you for the fact that we can all give testimony to how you've worked in our life and made us stronger in difficult times. And Lord, everyone here is still growing. Everyone here has another step to go in their walk with you. And I pray that they would find complete joy in trusting you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.